Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Veni, Sancti Spiritus, repletuam corda fidelium et tui, amoris in ignem accende. Emite Spiritum tuum et creabuntur.
Et renovabis facientere.
Oremus Deus, qui corda fidelium Sancti Spiritus illus et acquisti, da nobis in eodem Spiritu recta sapere, et Deus semper consolatione gaudere, per Christum Dominum nostrum.
Amen.
Cor Mariae Immaculatum.
Intercede pro nobis.
My Queen, my Mother, I give myself entirely to Thee, and to show my devotion to Thee, I consecrate to Thee this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good Mother, as I am Thine own, keep me, guard me as Thy property and possession. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Happy, a thousand times happy is the soul here below, to which the Holy Ghost reveals the secret of Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The true devotion to our Blessed Lady, the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, amounts to the total consecration to our Blessed Lady, to the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Our Blessed Lady, in her message in Fatima, requested from the Vicar of Christ, from the Pope, and it was already in the message in Fatima 1917, however, expressively she asked this in 1929, that she said, it is now time that the Pope consecrates Russia to my Immaculate Heart. During World War II then, at the height, so to speak, of the sufferings of World War II, Pius XII consecrated the entire human race, the entire world, on October 31, in 1942, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In this act, he invokes his highest authority. He says, as Carmen, Father of the great Christian family, and as vicar of whom is given all power in heaven and earth, he will now consecrate the entire human race to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And what the Pope did in 42 is not just taking refuge, is not just a prayer, petition for help in this great emergency of World War II. Since it would not make sense that he would invoke his authority as the Vicar of God, the Vicar of Christ, as Carmen, Father of the entire Christian family, as he calls it, who has the care for all the members of the human society, if he would not use this power in order to do this act, this act of consecration, which also includes rites, but also duties towards the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The one who created us will us not save us without us. Our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady have us purchased from the slavery of Satan, have us purchased from sin, from Satan, and from the eternal hell. What someone purchased, legally purchased, becomes its property. And therefore, Jesus and Mary obtain, so to speak, unlimited rights of power and dominion over the entire human race, and have all graces of redemption in their hand. And each person in all groups of men in the entire human race together, they remain free now because they have free will. These rights of dominion of Jesus and Mary to refuse, like the Jews refused it, "We have no king than Caesar," in the Gospel. And if man does this, they will perish. Or man can accept, recognize and accept in consent the dominion over them by Jesus Christ and Mary, and can subject themselves under them, under Jesus and Mary, and they can deliver them, can open up themselves for the operation of grace of Jesus and of Mary, and then they will be saved. Already Leo XIII did so in 1899 with the consecration of the human race to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And with this consecration, he confessed publicly in the name of mankind, "Christ, Divine Redeemer, we want, we desire that you, that thy heart governs us. Thine are we, and thine we want to remain," he says, in the consecration. And since then, the Church explained, the Church recognized and acknowledged much, much more that our Blessed Lady, that Mary, as the Church called it, una simul cum filio regnat, that she, totally one, united with her Son, together, governs as queen, or has dominion as queen over mankind. That the kingdom of Jesus, and we need to understand this, the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of Mary are one kingdom, not two. Our Blessed Lady doesn't have a kingdom on her own, which is opposed to the kingdom of Christ. It is one kingdom. And this recognized already Pius X, when he wrote the encyclical ad diem illum, when he says, as the result of this participation between Mary and Christ in the sorrows, in the will, she deserved most worthily to be made the restorer of the lost world, and so the dispenser of all the gifts which Jesus procured for us by his death and by his blood. And from this, the Pope, in the name of mankind, drew the necessary conclusion and did with great, great joy recognize this reality, that there is one kingdom, and if you want to be saved, if mankind wants to be saved, it needs to be subjected to this kingdom. In 42, the Pope went further than that. He not only delivered the entire mankind to the Immaculate Heart, or recommended it to the Immaculate Heart, but consecrated the entire mankind to her heart. Consecrare. Consacriamo. We consecrate. We dedicate, if you want. And if you think, when a bishop consecrates a church, or chants, or any other thing he consecrates or dedicates, he does actually three things. First, he takes it away, he takes that particular thing away from an ordinary usage of the profane. That's the first thing what's happened at a consecration. The second thing is he purifies and liberates it from the curse of sin and the influence of Satan himself, and then fills the very thing he consecrates by the prayer and the blessing of the church with grace, and makes it to a sacramental, that is, to an exterior sign that by the institution of the church gives interior graces. And then is so purified and so sanctified thing will be given, delivered to God in a solemn act. And that's a consecration. And by the consecration of the human race to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Bishop of Bishops, Pius XII, did a similar act. He took mankind, the human race, from the usage of the profane. That is to say, from sin, that was his intention. From egoism, from the service to the demons, and wanted it totally consecrate for the service of Mary, the same as Leo XIII did for the service of Christ. Separated it for the service of Christ, or separated it for the service of or to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And once that done, the so-called purification rite can begin. The human race must be purified from the sin, from the curse of sin, from the slavery to sin, from the slavery of egoism, and the slavery to the demons by penance and reparation. And for this, the temple punishment will be sent by God. And if those punishments, the temple tribulations, which will be inflicted over the human race, if they are suffered in the right spirit, then they serve as reparation for the human race. At the same time, the power and the darkness of Satan must be broken. And it's also prophesied, it will come to a final battle. And we have to recognize that we live through this final battle, this final fight between Christendom and counter-Christendom or anti-Christendom, between church and counter-church, that is, Freemasonry, Judaism, and communism. And we see this fight, this battle going on every single day. But the end of this fight cannot be doubted. Our Blessed Lady Mary, the Immaculate Heart, will triumph, and triumph by the Church. She will eventually throw the dragon with all its agents back into hell. And then this purified human race will receive a flood of graces, if you want, and will be sanctified, that eventually the sinners will convert, the Protestants and those who are separated from the Church will come back to the Church. We have to remember that Germany has a particular fault in history, namely the fault of Protestantism or the Protestant revolt. But even in the message of Fatima, it's a very interesting topic that there was a Professor Fischer, he was a priest, and he spread devotion of the message of Fatima. He spread the message of Fatima in Germany and was actually in contact with Sister Lucy, and that goes back in the 40s. And Sister Lucy would write to him that in her prayers she is not forgetting Germany, that Germany will entirely return to the fold of Christ, and that's a quote, the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary will reign entirely and perfectly in all splendor in Germany. That's what she said. And then finally, you know, says, some of the Jews, perhaps a greater number, will convert, will join the church, will be members of the church. And then the hopes which Pope Pius XII expressed in this consecration will be fulfilled. And of course, even if this consecration was not how heaven wanted it, it still had its effects according to Sister Lucy's own words, that the war came to an end and so forth. But in order that this consecration of Russia and of the human race can work, so to speak, it is necessary, or it was necessary, that every bishop in the entire world, that every priest in the entire world, that every parish in the entire world, that every individual does the same as the Pope did in 42, consecrates himself with all its powers to Our Blessed Lady. And here we talk about our main subject of this retreat, the consecration to Mary and the total consecration to Mary. It was on the day of the canonization of St. Louis Maria Grigno de Montfort on July 20th in 1947 that Pius X said to the pilgrims following: now it is necessary to speak of sincere and loyal devotion. He is the author of the treatise True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin, which is distinguished by those very traits from a false devotion, more or less superstitious, or from some superficial sentiments, which puts on the appearance while living in sin, counting on a miraculous grace at the last hour. True devotion, that of tradition, that of the church, that we say in a good Christian and Catholic sense, tends essentially to union with Jesus under the guidance of Mary. The form and practice of this devotion may vary according to times, places, personal inclinations. Within the limits of a sane, sure doctrine of orthodoxy and the dignity of the cult, the Church allows your children a just margin of liberty. Their conscience in regard to what is the true and perfect devotion towards the Holy Virgin is not at all so bound to these modalities that any one of them can claim a monopoly. Behold, therefore, beloved sons and daughters, why we ardently desire that, over and above the various manifestations of piety towards the Mother of God, Mother of Man, you may draw from the treasure of the writings and examples of our saint, that which he made the basis of his Marian devotion, his firm conviction of the most powerful intercession of Mary, his resolute will to imitate her as far as possible, the vehement ardor of his love for her and for Jesus. It is also according to the words of the Holy Father, up to every Christian in full liberty to choose in which form he venerates and is devoted to Mary.
And he can also perform the consecration to Mary as his personal act or deed, and he can live it according to it. Inasmuch as the essence of devotion is retained, as Pope Pius XII says it. And from this holy liberty, the liberty of the children of God, we take usage and we will think and meditate now as consequence about this form of consecration, the form of St. Louis Maria Grignot de Montfort, since his teaching is according to the witness, to the testimony of Pope Pius XII himself, a means of sanctification and a means of unity with God. We also should not forget that the canonization of St. Louis Grignot de Montfort is also a testimony, an approval, that the Church approves his way as a way to find perfect unity with God, and recommended this devotion and its imitation to the entire Church, to the entire Christendom. And we have a particular reason for this devotion, particular in our own times of apostasy. According to the witness or testimony of St. Louis Grignot de Montfort, who was gifted also with the gift of prophecy, that this devotion will be exercised, will be lived by those great saints which will be formed towards the end of times, and who will fight the battles of God. In the mist, in the secret of Mary, in number 59, the saint says, we ought also to believe that towards the end of time, and perhaps sooner than we think, God will raise up great men, full of the Holy Ghost, imbued with the Spirit of Mary. Through him, this powerful Son will work great wonders in the world, so as to destroy sin and to establish the kingdom of Jesus Christ, her Son, upon the ruins of the kingdom of his corrupt world. And these holy men will succeed by means of this devotion, of which I do but give here the outline, and which my deficiency only impairs. And then in the treatise of the true devotion to Mary in number 121, he says, this devotion consists then in giving ourselves entirely to Our Lady in order to belong entirely to Jesus for her. We must give her our body with all its senses and its members, our soul with all its powers, our exterior goods and of fortune, whether present or to come, our interior and spiritual goods, which are our merits and our virtues and our good works, past, present, and future. In a word, we must give her all we have in the order of nature, in the order of grace, and all that may become ours in the future, in the orders of nature, grace and glory. And this we must do without the reserve of so much as one farthing, one hair, or one least good action, and we must do it also for all eternity, and we must do it further without pretending to or hoping for any or other recompense for our offering and service except the honor of belonging to Jesus Christ through Mary, and in Mary, as though that sweet mistress were not, as she always is, the most generous and the most grateful of creatures. The total consecration is first a perfect or total donating of yourself, a transferring of your own ownership rights and liberty rights to the Immaculate Heart of Mary or to our Blessed Lady. And by this act, the donation of those rights will be taken out of the usage of the profane and be determined exclusively for the service of Mary. And with this act, we also hope that our mistress liberates her own property then from the curse of sin and the influences of Satan, that he liberates us from this, and that she gives us so many graces, pours out his graces over us through and through, so that we give ourselves entirely to her divine Son. And by this donating of ourselves becomes the consecration to Mary. And this deed, this act of the total consecration will be much more perfect if we understand clearly its content, its extension, and its consequences for our lives. And this is why we do the retreat. And the greater our liberty and our love is with what it will be done, namely the consecration. Therefore, it is very important to think thoroughly through this act of consecration and what it entails. First, we give all our exterior goods. And to this belongs all material things or goods which can be estimated by money or the value of money, and which becomes, in the religious life, if you enter a religious order, the object of the vow of poverty. We deliver to Mary, without reserve, all rights of ownership, usership, consumptionship, if you want, and the fruit of those properties. And we give also the rights over it to her. And she can do with this property, with those rights, whatever she wants. She can dispose those properties however she wants. And chooses to these exterior goods belong also our moral goods, that is to say, honor, high esteem, and love which we obtain from other men. We are ready, if it's in the degree, in the plan of this Heavenly Mother and Queen, and if she permits it, that we lose those goods, and you all know how that goes. That you are despised, that you are calumniated, that you are hated, that you are persecuted, maybe even by a person with whom you are very close, and from whom you never did expect it. And such sufferings, such disappointments hurt much deeper than the loss of material goods. And therefore, we're talking about the moral goods, they have also much greater value of reparation and merit. And they bring forth, if they are suffered in the right way, much better, to a much greater degree, the kingdom of God in us, around us, and much more the honor of God and our own salvation. And then the Blessed Mother will protect these goods and protect them and preserve them in the midst of the greatest dangers. Then to those exterior goods belong also our surrounding, like parents, siblings, relatives, friends, benefactors, priests, lay people, superiors, inferiors, people who mean well with us, our enemies, our home, our country. And we have, between those limits which the duty imposes on us, a certain liberty without that consideration, right? You should have the liberty to choose your own place, your surrounding. You can either leave this place or stay in that place. You can enjoy certain things or sacrifice certain things. You can bear certain things or be free from these things. However, by the act of total consecration, we sacrifice this liberty and let Our Lady totally decide for us to choose and for us to decide on which place she sends us or in what surrounding she places us, however she finds it good for us and expedient for us as the wisest and the most merciful Queen. And if it's serious for a soul to do this act of donating
itself to this cream. Our Blessed Lady will take it also very serious. And we should not forget, she will make use of those rights which you give her the right to. She will claim those rights according to her own wisdom and her love. And we have in history certain proofs of this, how our Blessed Lady does this. In the Divine Office for the Feast of Mary of the Snow on August 5th, we read following. It was under the reign of Pope Liberius, there was a certain Roman couple, the man was named John and his wife, and they together decided, because they had no children, that they would place as an heir nobody but the Mother of God, that she would inherit the entire property, all their treasures. Now both him and his wife prayed very hard that our Blessed Lady would tell them how they should use their riches for the honor of our Blessed Lady. And Mary did hear their prayer and accepted their petitions and their wishes and confirmed the hearing of this prayer by following miracle, and you know all that miracle. It was on August 5th, was in the time, if you ever went to Rome in August, it's extremely hot. And during the night, a part of the Esquilinian hills of the city of Rome was covered with snow. In the same night, our Blessed Lady appeared in a double vision in a dream. She appeared to the couple, and she told them that they will find that hill covered with snow, and they should build a church to her honor. And in this form, she wants to claim her property. She wants to claim the inheritance. The husband, John, went unto the Pope, Liberius, and told him his dream, and Pope Liberius told him he had the same vision in the dream. And then Pope Liberius went in procession with the clergy and with the faithful to the snow-covered hill and determined there by himself the place for the building of the church, which then was built for the expense of John and his wife. Later on then, Sixtus III restored the church, and the church had then many names. First it was called the Liberian Basilica, then the Marian Church of the Crib, the Sepe. But since in Rome there were many churches in honor of Our Lady built, they wanted to commemorate the very fact of the snow, and they called it then
Mary Major, Maria Maggiore, and in such a way Our Blessed Lady claimed her own property. Another example which is much, much more splendid, much more wonderful, is the example of Lourdes. And this is absolutely proved by historical evidences. The French advocate Breillaud wrote the entire study, and he proved it by documents, and he wrote on the book Why in Lourdes. It was during the time of Charlemagne. There was living in the Pyrenees a prince, a Saracen prince, who was in the process of becoming a Christian. And he had the idea that his land never can be in the hands of an earthly king or prince. The bishop of the region counseled him then he should claim the Mother of God as the queen of this land, surrounding land, and he should give his empire, transmit his empire to her. And the prince was very pleased by this counsel. So he went on with his soldiers, with his army, and he took pieces of grass which surrounds his castle. He would take pieces of grass, and they would carry those pieces of grass on their spears, on their horses, and they would go with those pieces of grass to a miraculous image, Our Blessed Lady from Mount Anis, as it's called. And there they laid down those pieces of grass as a sign of donating the entire land to Our Blessed Lady. And the prince then received from the bishop who acted as a vicar of Our Blessed Lady the land as a fidelum, right? As a land which is not your property but just given to you to administer in the name of Our Blessed Lady. After this, the prince received baptism, and then he received the name Lourdes. And from him, the castle and then the city, which established itself in the course of time, was then named Lourdes. And the successors of the prince always recognized this donation to the Heavenly Queen. And one of his successors, named with Bernard, good 100 years later, wrote a wonderful document which is still preserved in the archives of Paul. And there also is determined in this document the amount of interest which always had to be paid each year on the Queen to Our Blessed Lady. And this interest was paid by all the successors, even the French kings, until the year 1789. Then during the French Revolution, the diocese was basically dispensed, and no one was there which the rites of the Queen Mary would fulfill. Then in the year 1829, the diocese was restored, and immediately the people there made the pilgrimage to Our Lady of the Mount Anis, and they did the same. They took pieces of grass from the field surrounding the castle and laid it down to the feet of the miraculous image. And they recognized with this that they recognized Our Blessed Lady as the princess of this land. And after this year 1829, not much happened anymore. According to French rite at that time, after 30 years, the land would have gone back to France. But before these 30 years elapsed, Our Blessed Lady herself appeared in the year 1858 and took again possession of her property. And she armed by this the consecration which was lived for 1,000 years, and she made out of this place Lourdes the greatest Marian pilgrimage place, at which she performed herself so many miracles, not only in body, but also of souls. It is a historical fact that even Napoleon III, with all his soldiers, could not prevent the pilgrimage at Lourdes, and that even the church enemy Combes, who took all the treasures of the church of France, could not appropriate the church treasure of Lourdes. The church goods, so to speak, the property of the church at Lourdes, he could not touch, since it was the property of Our Blessed Lady, which she protected. She protected her own rights for that very property, Lourdes. These are examples of the first part of the consecration, meaning concerning the exterior goods. But by this act of consecration, we deliver to the Queen and Mother also our rights over our own body, with all its senses, with all its faculties, even the right over our own life and death. Queen Mary, Mother, I give you the light of my eyes. You can it let shine, or you can extinguish it. I donate you my ears. You can leave the gates of these ears open, or you can close it for the words and the sounds of this world. I give you and deliver you my heart and my lungs, my head and my feet, my entire body. I am ready for hunger and thirst, for cold and heat, for suffering or pleasure, for virginity or enjoyment, for suffering, for health or sickness, for sacrifice or pleasure, for life in death. And therefore the total consecration goes much further than what is required at the religious life, in the religious life with the vow of chastity. Because by the vow of chastity, you only sacrifice basically the usage of sexual activity, you sacrifice marriage and family. And as I said before, if you take it seriously in your soul, this is giving yourself, then it is also, it will be serious for the Mother Queen. And she takes it upon herself to take care for you. It is only important that we remain perfect, movable. Furthermore, she takes care in all her wisdom, in all her mercy and holiness for yourself. She preserves and multiplies what is necessary for our salvation. And she will use everything for the great honor of God and the salvation of souls. The total consecration is not a way of health insurance, life insurance, accident insurance, or fire insurance. The total consecration is a total donating of yourself, and she can use everything according to your, to her own disposition, totally freely. Of course, it is not entirely without danger to think through all the details and the consequences of this act of donating. There are some people who lost the courage for the consecration when they really thought through, as we do, all the impacts of this consecration. They did not feel anymore the energy and the courage to the real sacrifice of this or that good or property. But we should not be discouraged, not at all. Because the Heavenly Mother is a wise mother and she's a good mother. She will never ask a sacrifice what goes over your powers. She knows very well that she must first give before she asks for. And before she asks a certain sacrifice, she will give her child the necessary grace to do so, and the necessary help. We should remember what St. Louis Grignion de Montfort says in his treatise in number 154. I reply that it is quite true that the most faithful servants of the Blessed Virgin, being as her greatest favorites, receive from her the greatest graces and favors of heaven, which are crosses. But I maintain that it is also the servants of Mary who carry these crosses with more ease, more merit, and more glory. That which would stay the progress of another 1,000 times over, or perhaps would make him fall, does not one stop their steps, but rather enables them to advance, because that good mother, all full of grace and of the unction of the Holy Ghost, prepares her servants' crosses with so much maternal sweetness and pure love as to make them gladly acceptable, no matter how bitter they may be in themselves. And I believe that a person who wishes to be devout and to live piously in Jesus Christ, and consequently to suffer persecutions and carry his cross daily, either will never carry great crosses, or will not carry them joyously or perseveringly without a tender devotion to Our Lady, which the sweet meat and confection of crosses, just as a person would not be able to eat unripe fruits without a great effort, which he could hardly keep up unless they had been preserved in sugar. Furthermore, we also deliver and consecrate to Mary our soul with all its faculties. She should take possession from it and take possession forever from it, and not permit that sin and Satan take dominion and possession over it. St. Louis Maria Grignot de Montfort, right, when he gave his missions, when he preached his missions, he always would advise his listeners that they should sign the document of consecration with their own blood. And then he would make his famous processions in honor of Our Lady, in which the faithful who did such an act would carry this document of the act of consecration at procession, and he would, of course, carry it publicly. And even that's only perhaps a temple exterior thing, it certainly shines a light on the seriousness of the act of consecration, and I can only advise you to do so. Happy the Christian who gives his soul to the Queen. Totally. And she will, with her heavenly power, with her wisdom and love, all rights over this soul, she will preserve it, and she will not permit that such a soul will be lost. And how important is it exactly for our own times, where hell has such power on this earth, that the faithful are consecrated to Mary, that she can preserve their souls for eternity. But we also give her our faculties, our intellect, our reasoning, in order that she illuminates us with her light. We give her our will in total freedom, in order that she moves our will according to her own holy will. We give her our heart in order that she destroys in this heart any disordered love, and that she fills this heart totally with divine love. And if we are serious, if we take it serious with this act of consecration, of donating ourselves, our Blessed Lady will claim her rights and will give us hour for hour certain offices, certain things to do, in order that we glorify God and that we help to save souls. In a sense, she will use us like chess figures, which she uses in the great battle against the black figures of hell, the demons. And as I said before, it's only important that we remain perfectly flexible in the hands of our Blessed Lady. Furthermore, we entrust also to her and consecrate to her our supernatural goods, the most precious what we have, namely sanctifying grace, all the graces, then infused theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, the supernatural infused moral virtues, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, then the particular and special graces of our own individual personal life, such as the vocation to virginity or the vocation to marriage, the vocation to the priesthood, or the vocation to the religious life. Because we carry those very precious graces in very breakable vessels, and constantly are we surrounded by great, great dangers. And how important is it then that we secure these treasures in the heart of our Blessed Lady. Over Mary, no hell, no world, no Satan has power. She is the Tower of David, the Tower of Ivory, and she, that tower, cannot be overcome. It was during the time of the Reformation, or should we call it the revolt against the church, and in the canton, in the section in Switzerland, in Freiburg, in Switzerland, in this canton, the people were in great danger. All other cantons or sections became Protestant. And now they wanted to force Freiburg with the power of arms for the acceptance of the new faith, namely Protestantism. And the good Catholics in Freiburg every Sunday pilgrim to our Blessed Lady, what's our Blessed Lady called, of Brooklyn, or Brooklyn. And they would pray the rosary there and entrusted their holy Catholic faith to Mary, and there they gave Mary the title of honor, Gardienne de la Foi, protectress of the faith. This has extreme importance in our own times, since in 1969 the foundation of the Society of Pius X happened very closely to this century. And it is my personal belief that God entrusted Archbishop Lefebvre with a special mission to protect the faith. It is my personal belief that he also was required to give a Catholic answer on the problem of the church Also the problem of the vacancy or the problem of the papacy. At least in the beginning, I think God gave this mission to the society. In any event, a con is very close to the sanctuary protectress of the faith. And how could this queen, the mother of God, not answer such a petition, which was prayed for with such confidence, that the mother of God protected their faith? The mother of God obtained from God then that St. Peter Canisius came to Freiburg, and in the degree of divine providence, this saint, St. Peter Canisius, was used as an instrument by God that Freiburg retained the Holy Catholic faith and that did not fall into the heresy of Protestantism. And that's how our Blessed Lady protects her children. But to those supernatural goods belong also our merits. And we give to Mary our merits according to the example of her divine Son, and we give her the value of all our past, present, and future good works, in order that she uses those for the living and the dead according to your own dispositions and intentions. But this does not hinder us, and that we need to understand. We give her the satisfactory or intercessory value of our good works and prayers. But does not hinder us in individual cases that we go full of confidence to Mother of God with the petition that this or that good work or the value of it we can offer up for a certain soul, since it is necessary or the obligation, the duty, ask for it. What the consecration of Mary only does in that regard is give, it takes us the possibility to dispose, if you want, independently from Our Lady, to dispose of these supernatural values of our good works. With the consecration to Our Blessed Lady, we bind ourselves always to pray, to walk, to suffer, to live, and to die according to the intentions of Our Blessed Lady. And therefore, we renounce in the root all egoism, all self-love, all self-thoughts, and in this way we are perfectly certain that we always fulfill the will of God, each soul loved in the right way, and we help there where there is the most need, and that we glorify God in the most perfect way, and that we help save souls in the best perfect way. And so we participate in the wisdom, in the love and holiness of our Heavenly Mother and Queen. But in order that we give all our goods, our properties perfectly to her, that she can use them according to her own will, we must also give to her, and that will surprise you, our sins and our obligations. Even those we give, we deliver to her, and we entrust them to her. St. Louis Clino de Montfort does not speak about those, but we should not put any limitations in our confidence to Mary. Even a human mother feels herself responsible for the actions, for the deeds of her children. And if a child did something bad, be it out of negligence or even bad intentions, and if this child harmed somebody or somebody's good, she will punish the child and she will make up for the harm. And the Heavenly Mother is not less good when a soul comes humble to her and full confidence asks her, make up for what I harmed souls in regard to my poverty, to my weakness, and even evilness and sinfulness. Look not to me, but look to God, and He merits perfect honor. Look to the most precious blood with which the souls are purchased, and replace to them the graces which they lost by my fault. The same way, with the same confidence, we ask the Mother of God also help us to fulfill our obligations, our duties, that she makes our obligations to their own, and that she supplies what we fail, what we cannot do, even it's our obligation. And the Heavenly Mother is certainly not less merciful as you expected from her. It always boils down to our confidence. The need of body and soul is not constituted that the Mother of God could not give, but is constituted in our lack of confidence, in that we don't take the effort to take our refuge in her. Happy therefore soul, which full of confidence, that doesn't limit the heart of Mary, and gives itself entirely by this consecration in forever and for eternity to Mary. And if you do so, you will also experience what the dying Pope Leo XIII on his deathbed confessed: my greatest consolation is now for me the total consecration to Mary. And as you certainly heard already, this act of consecration, of giving yourself entirely, you do the best after the reception of Holy Communion, after you really comprehended the content, the extension and the consequences of this consecration, after you prepared yourself for this great moment. The act of consecration is a simple, very serious, intentionally willed act of your will. You don't need to necessarily feel anything or experience something interior which our Blessed Lady might grant you, but only think that is an act of your will, and it becomes, it assumes a perfection from the clearness of your understanding and the freedom, the liberty, and the seriousness of your will. St. Louis Grigny de Montfort is certainly extreme. He is truly an extremist. He does not withdraw from any sacrifice. He recognizes Mary as his queen and delivers himself entirely to the operation of grace by Mary, to the extreme. God is absolute. He is an absolute king. However, in many things, he gives us liberty. Between the commandments of God, he gives us certain liberties. We can use our property, our body and our soul, our senses, our faculties, our vocation, our activity. We can choose them according to the limits of the will of God, according to his commandments. We can choose over the supernatural value of our good works. We can determine them very freely. And Mary will accept this order of God. She doesn't touch this freedom. However, St. Louis Grigny de Montfort goes much, much further. He will no freedom. He doesn't want any freedom. He doesn't want any ownership anymore. Nothing. Absolutely nothing he wants to retain for himself. Everything should belong to this great queen. Over everything, she should have total dominion. He practiced total consecration to the extreme. But even in the space or in concerning what is allowed, what is listed, he renounces his own thoughts, his own will, his own inclination. Mary should perfectly have dominion over everything, even over our intellect, our will, our heart. He will not, he doesn't want to be the one who has dominion over these things. Mary alone. She should possess him, have dominion over him, move his soul and his body. Like St. Ignatius of Loyola says, so Grignion says to Mary, Suscipe domina universam libertatem. Take O mistress, my entire freedom. Nobody is obliged to do cis consecration, but nobody should be restrained to do this act of consecration. It is true, not all souls are led on this way by the Holy Ghost. And on the end, I also want to say one last thing for future priests. You as future priests must understand, at least in theory, the total consecration, since you will have the obligation to help perhaps a soul which is on that way of the total consecration, and you have to recognize the operation of the Holy Ghost in such a soul who did the consecration, and you are then obliged to help such a soul to follow the inspiration of the Holy Ghost perfectly. Since a priest can be a tremendous hindrance for a soul on the way of such a perfection. The consecration to Mary, as St. Louis Quintin de Montfort teaches it, has certainly certain advantages. He himself says in his book, the greater arm of God, the example of Jesus Christ, who as the first practice and lifts this consecration, the graces, the gifts which you will receive from the heart of Mary, the great adventures to your neighbor, and the perseverance in the good. So have no fear to consecrate yourself to our Blessed Lady, but take it seriously. Try to live it moment by moment, day by day, and you will experience that she, the Queen of Heaven and Earth, is the best mother you can have. She will be truly your mother, and you will be her child. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus.
Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.